Yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC back, locked and loaded. 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio, Eco Word, Eco Word, each and every Friday, bringing you that greener, safer Philadelphia conversation, man. Make sure you tap in, tell a friend to tell a friend. And don't forget, you can always find our pre-recorded shows, exclusive interviews, recaps, and more on SoundCloud. All you got to do is go ahead and type in the search bar Eco Word, and we're going to pop right up at you and hear everything Eco Word has to offer. But today is the last Friday. Today's the last Friday. Let me be correct. The last Friday of September. So we got a jam-packed show for you as always. And I'm really excited to be speaking with a special guest. She's been traveling all week long, doing so much for the city of Philadelphia and beyond. We have the founder of Philadelphia's Black Cannabis Week on the line with us. Good morning. We got Sharon Thomas. How are you feeling this morning? How are you feeling?
Hey, I am feeling great. We are now moving into Philadelphia for Black Cannabis Week for our Cannabis Opportunities Conference. And this moment, we are having and hosting our policy breakfast. And we are just so excited about the networking, about the discussions, just the insight, just everything about cannabis, and really excited to have so many people coming from across the country to be here today.
I love it. And I want to start with the policy, of course, but I also want you to introduce yourself properly because you do so much more. You're also the owner of Planting People in West Philadelphia. I want to talk a little bit about what you do, how you got started with Black Cannabis Week, because that actually rolls over into your other skills.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's start off with the background. So, I'm in Philadelphia by way of Memphis, Tennessee. I moved here straight out of college to work on peace and justice issues internationally and have been here ever since and still continue to work on those issues today, which is what led me to cannabis. I read a book called The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander and realized that it had all been a setup to keep our Black and Brown community locked up for free labor. And that concerned me, and it really concerned me knowing and making that relationship with how many people I knew, family members who had also been incarcerated for cannabis. And as our state moved into a regulated medical market, I just thought, how could it be? How could it be that we have corporations that are moving in to the state of Pennsylvania who are, making tons of profit, but so many people were still incarcerated, so many communities were still damaged from the war on drugs. And what could we do to bring some awareness? And so we continue to work on that social justice platform with our partners at Free My Weed Man, as well as including health. A lot of people don't realize that this plant was and continues to be the first medicine for many nations, right? And so how can we bring some of that sacred information back to our community, a community again that has been harmed, a community who has been told over and over and over that this is dangerous, it is bad, to the point that yes, it is a Schedule One. And so when you look at the definition of Schedule One, it is nothing that you would want in your body or even near your being. And so there's been a lot of misinformation. And so going this week was just really birthed out of the idea that our community had been lied to and that we need to bring awareness. And that's what we do during Black Cannabis Week. We educate, we elevate and we celebrate those people who have been making inroads in cannabis, that everything from entrepreneurs to developers to owners to CEO of major corporations, we want to bring, again, we want to bring this information and this education to our community so we can decide, not let somebody else decide what works for us. And so again, we want a seat at the table, and not just to be at the table. We want to be making the decisions about where the revenue goes. We want to make decisions about releasing people who have been incarcerated. We want to be at the table helping to bring our stories, to amplify our lived experiences, and making sure that our communities benefit off of the revenue that's being made in this industry.
For sure. And thank you for breaking that down too. And I love your passion because you went on and I got tons of questions for a lot of the things that you just said. But I wanted to just start with, just the justice part around it, because you definitely talked about the war on drugs. So I wanted to just ask you, when it comes down to the talk about cannabis justice, what does this mean for everyday folks who still has a record from charges such as cannabis?
Right. What this means for folks, who are currently impacted by the charges, is that there is opportunity. There has been opportunity on the federal, as well as the state and city level, to actually help to rectify. But there's a big gap of that's missing. And so when you
Sharon, you're kind of
don't let
breaking
me
up just a little bit.
continue
If you,
to.
Sharon, you're breaking up just a little bit. If you can repeat that for us one more time.
Yeah, so what this means for people who have been impacted by cannabis, one of the things to know is that that traditionally on a state level, we've had a very, very good pardons program. On a city level, we have the Office of Reentry, and there have even been legislation on a federal level. We have to make sure people tap in. And what I mean by that is actually sitting down with an attorney, which is at what one of the services that we actually offer during Black Cannabis Week at some of our stops, and especially at Temple University, where we will be having our conference. We will have some of those professionals from throughout the East Coast that will actually be sitting down and helping people to actually expunge, clear their records, and possibly even some pardons. So we just want to make sure that, again, people have the information that they need so that they can navigate this society. People don't realize, like, if you have a record, there's everything from a denial of federal funds, that's scholarships sometimes, if that's student aid, if that's housing, if there are other benefits. So it is definitely something that is really helping folks to kind of like stay underground. We want people to be contributing citizens. So with that being said, yes, there are chances, but if you don't talk to an attorney, and I understand that attorneys are really expensive, we try to alleviate that during our cannabis opportunities conference on tomorrow.
And another thing that I've noticed just doing my research over time is that once states make cannabis recreational, it adds more money to the actual state within itself, and it helps to alleviate debt within schools, housing, healthcare, and also just the infrastructure overall within that state. So that helps with the environmental racism that people are dealing with on a daily basis. Would you agree?
No, I would totally agree. One film that I would highly recommend your audience seek out, and it's called The Big Payback. Big Payback is about a town in Illinois. It's called Evanston, Illinois. And in Evanston, Illinois, they knew that cannabis was coming. But they didn't want a dispensary in their neighborhood, and that's fine. That was their choice as a community. But one thing that they also knew is that they did not want to pass up on the benefits of the revenue that could actually be gained from cannabis. And so what they decided is that they were going to pass a law that would allow that cannabis revenue to go toward housing because of gentrification. So each member, and I think they started off with some of the oldest members, that it was close to $25,000 that they would get to pay on their mortgage, to fix their house, to pay down a down payment on the house. And what we would call that is actually reparations. Because it went to those communities, right? And so when you say, well, what else can we do? I'm not interested in this stuff. Look, we just had a community circle last night in Baltimore, and we had the office, this Maryland State Office of Social Equity. And she said, people, community organizations, and nonprofits are calling their office nonstop to tap into the over, I believe it's like $96 million. Yes, that's sitting in a pot for communities throughout the state of Maryland. It will happen here eventually in Pennsylvania once we have a bill, but until then, people do need to come to the Cannabis Opportunities Conference. They do need to seek out the information that we have, because by the time the bill happens, it's probably going to be too late to decide how you see yourself with cannabis revenue. And so that's why we're inviting people to come out to the Cannabis Opportunities Conference. One, the community is there. Two, we have experts, we have elected officials. Probably the most important thing I would say is we have lowered the barrier, which is really a issue for most people going to cannabis conference. Our conference is absolutely free. We are so
Beautiful.
grateful to partner with Senator Sharif Street for the 8th year to bring this free conference to community. When we tell people in other states, they can't believe it. They cannot believe that we have a 2-day conference that's free. But that is something that, again, it was important for us to ensure that the community was able to participate and to come out. So there's no excuses, Philadelphia. We have people coming from New York, from Chicago. We have people coming from DC. We have a bus coming from, oh gosh, I forget. But we have people who are
I'm about to say
coming.
coming all
Yeah,
over.
Virginia. Like, we have people who are coming from everywhere. They like to call this the Wakanda of cannabis, right? Yeah. So this is where we meet.
I love it.
So, and it's open for everybody, the grandmas, the aunties, the unks. Just really come out, learn. Just that's all I can say. Come out, learn, be a part of how we can actually be a positive change in our in our communities.
But also a billion-dollar industry at the same time. And that's why I asked you that last question about actually fixing, or actually being a solution to what we deal with, what Black and Brown communities deal with on a daily basis as far as environmental racism. But Sharon, we do have to go to a quick commercial break. Right out of this quick commercial break, we got about 10 minutes left, and I want to ask you some more questions about the industry and how people can actually get involved. But again, stay locked. You're listening to Sharon Perry Thomas, who is the founder of Black Cannabis Week here in the city of Philadelphia. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. It's your girl POC. Eco word, eco word, eco word.